Again, we want to extend a hearty welcome to everybody here. If you're our visitor, we're certainly glad that you have come our way. Hope and pray that all that we say and we do is in keeping with God's will. And as a result of that, that we'll all be edified, that we'll all be built up in the faith. One of the great sorrows, at least in my estimation, is when we see somebody who was once faithful to leave the love of their Lord, to leave their first love. In the book of 2 Peter, in chapter 2, we have a great scenario on that, where Peter writes of those who would depart. And he says, for in verse 24, if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of God, or the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them, according to the true proverb, that a dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. First Corinthians, chapter 10 and verse 12. Paul would write these words, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. The possibility of us falling away from the truth is very real. It was real in the days of old, it is real today. So we want to talk about some warning signs, if you will, that we may be falling away, some danger signs of apostasy, if you will. We'll talk about that in this morning's lesson and this afternoon's lesson. Got a text from my daughter this morning wanting to know if we were excited about going on vacation. After a few other things, she asked me if my second sermon was going to be on John chapter 11 and verse 35. Jesus wept. That would have been a short sermon. And I said, I wish I had thought about that earlier and I would have done that. But in all seriousness, this is a very serious thing that we talk about. Brother Robert Taylor Jr., in his commentaries on 1 and 2 Peter, made this notation, that there are approximately 2,500 warnings in the Bible that are all related to apostasy or falling away from God. I'm glad he did all that counting and not me. But it is important for us to understand that it's a real possibility. When you look at the word apostasy, it's the word we often use when we talk about falling away. It just simply means to abandon that which we once believed. And oddly enough, it means to fall away from something. From the Christian perspective, it simply means that we have chosen to no longer walk in the light of our Lord. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. People of all ages have turned their backs on God. We are not exempt. And that is why God warns us time and time again through His Word not to fall away. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 19 through 20 is a great example of that. Now therefore, write down this song for yourselves and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. When I have brought them to the land flowing with milk and honey, of which I swore to their fathers, and they have eaten and filled themselves and grown fat, now listen to this, then they will turn to other gods and serve them. God, through Moses, actually told Moses about this. And this was going to be given to the children of Israel. And it would not surprise me of that day and age, as it would be today and age, this day and age, that many of them would probably have said, "No, no, no, Lord, you don't understand. I'll never turn to false gods. I'll never do to these types of things." And genuinely mean it. But we're human beings. Even Solomon was warned. Know the God of your father and serve Him with a loyal heart and willing mind. For if you forsake Him, He will cast you off forever. We find that in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. Jeremiah, a prophet of God, said, "Thus says the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm," that is to mean his strength, "and whose heart departs from the Lord." The person who allows their heart to depart from God, to turn away from God, to cease to serve and worship God as we ought to do, stands in a relationship of being cursed before God. John 15 and verse 6. "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned." Jesus warned about this. Paul would put it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. He says, "I discipline or buffet my body daily and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway." That same kind of terminology that was given to Solomon. He'll be cast off. Here, Paul says, "I'll become a castaway." The Apostle Paul understood that he could turn his back on God. He understood that. And he says, "Because of that, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. I discipline my body and make sure that I don't turn my back on God." This same Apostle Paul would write to Timothy, where he said in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, "Some will depart the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons." There will be people who will turn their back on God. And what a sad condition that is. We should never rejoice that we have to go to somebody because they have left the faith and say to them, "You need to come back to God." We should never approach somebody with a haughty spirit. "Look, I haven't turned my back on God. Why have you? You need to come back." Because you see, even Paul, an apostle, understood he could do it if he was not on guard, if he wasn't watchful. Paul would write in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned to fables." In other words, Paul was telling Timothy the time is going to come when people are not going to listen to sound doctrine anymore, but rather they're going to heap to themselves teachers. They're going to find many, many teachers that will teach them what they want to hear rather than what God said to them. And as a result of that, they turn their back on God. So here's the question. Can we guard against apostasy? Can we guard against falling away from God? And the answer to that is yes, we can. But to the point of our two lessons, the one this morning and the one after lunch, is going to be simply this. The question is, are there warning signs? Are there some signs that we can look at and say, "You know what? I see some of these things in me, or I see some of these things in the local congregation that tells us that we might be going down the wrong path, that we might be falling away from God?" And the answer to that is yes, there are. Let's look at some of those indicators by starting with this one. One of the clear indicators that we may be falling away from God and from the truth that He offers us is when we start putting things before God. Things. And things are all around us. We live in a very physical world. That's how God made us. He made us both physical and spiritual and that mental, emotional aspect. So there are things all around us. And we have to have things, don't we? We have to have food for nourishment. We have to have proper attire for the different types of seasons that we go through. We have to have some form, at least, of shelter to protect us from the elements and other things. But the problem is not that we have things or that we need things or even sometimes that maybe we just want something. The problem is when we start putting things ahead of God. Jesus summed it up very simply in Matthew 6 and verse 33, didn't he? See, first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all of these things will be added to you. What things? He had already talked about the fact that there were the necessity of clothing and shelter and all this type of stuff. And he says, if you will seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, those types of things will be taken care of. They're going to solve their own problems. God will take care of that. In Colossians 3, 1 through 2, Paul would say, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. Repeatedly, we are instructed as God's people to look for the spiritual things that are more important than the physical things. We are to set our affections, our hearts, our minds upon spiritual things. And while we all have things that we like, we want, and they may differ throughout this congregation a lot. Some people are really into electronics and the latest, greatest, and all that kind of stuff. Other people may be into sporting activities like fishing, hunting, golf, that type of thing. We all have wants and likes. Our key as Christians are to make sure that we don't put them ahead of our spiritual things. Jesus really summed it up pretty well in Matthew 16, verse 24, when He said, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. Folks, God demands our dedication to Him. God demands our dedication to Him, not to self and not to what the world has to offer me. Putting ourselves in earthly pursuits before God is a clear indicator that we may be drifting away from God, that we may be headed down the wrong path, that we may be falling away from Him. How often we ought to think about that song, that hymn that we often sing. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. See, that's what we need to strive towards. Number two, a good indicator that we may be falling away from God, falling away from His truth, is when we find it easier and easier to miss worship services and Bible study. In Hebrews chapter 10, 24, or actually beginning verse 23 and going through about verse 25, we're told that holding the profession of our faith without wavering, we are to listen, consider one another and provoke one another unto love and good works. Now listen, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is common or is the manner of some, but exhorting one another and so much more as we see the day approaching. When the Hebrew writer wrote this, he had something in mind. And I think what he had in mind, at least to some degree, is the need for Christians to come together for edification. For Christians to come together for exhortation and encouragement.
for us to come together because we are people of like precious faith. And we're looking for, or should be looking for, the same thing. And when we don't come together as we're supposed to, when we forsake the assembling of ourselves together, we can't exhort one another. We can't consider each other. That is to consider each other before ourselves. And one of the few times that you're going to find this word provoke to be in a good way. Because most time we look at the word provoke and we think, man, my child is provoking me to no end here. I'm about to light his britches up. Or something along those lines. But here, the word provoke means that we are prodding them toward love and good works. We're encouraging, we're exhorting them to do those things that are right and good according to God. So when we miss our times to come together, our worship service time, our Bible class time, we're missing those opportunities to prod our brothers and sisters in Christ to live a stronger, healthier Christian life. And you know what? The same thing is true. We're causing them to not have that opportunity with us, to provoke us unto love and good works. It's a two-way street. Psalm 122 and verse 1. I always just love this particular verse because when you look at what's at the heart of this and you look at passages like Deuteronomy chapter 23 and Matthew chapter 1, 3 through 6, we learn that Judah sinned with Tamar, that David was the 10th generation from the sin of Judah. And for David to be able to write this was something very special to him. He said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why? Because all of his descendants prior to him, from the sin of Judah with Tamar, were not allowed to, and now David was finally welcomed back into the house of the Lord. I wonder what it'd be like for 10 generations back if your family had not been allowed to come to worship services and finally somebody came to you and said, you finally are past the point of this time. You can come and worship. Boy, what an exciting time that would be. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalm 14 and verse 2. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand and seek God. When we come together, our desire is to know God more, to seek God out. We're told in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11, seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face continually. But if we don't come together as we're supposed to do, it's going to be hard to seek Him out. 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 19, just a matter of six chapters later. Set your heart and soul to seek the Lord your God. Folks, we are robbing ourselves of the opportunity to seek God and to really know Him as we ought to know Him when we don't attend the assembling of the saints. Number three, a good clear indicator that we might be falling away is when we seldom study our Bibles. And I'm going to tell you something, this may be one of the greatest problems that we have. Now, I can't speak for everybody, not even going to attempt to. There may be some here who make it a point daily to spend X amount of time or read X number of chapters or something in their Bible every day. And that is fantastic. But I'm going to suggest to you that it may be a giant problem in the church today because of the lives that we live and we are so wrapped up in the world around about us and trying to survive sometimes in the world around about us. That by the time we get to the end of the day, we're just dragging. Our knuckles are on the ground, our chin's on the ground. We just all we can do to crawl into bed and go to sleep. But folks, if we don't study God's Word, that may be a clear indicator that we're going to be headed down that road into apostasy. We know from 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Did you hear that? That the man of God be complete. That is the Christian. We can go to the Scriptures and we can know as Christians that we can be a complete person. And being complete, mature in the faith, we're not as likely to drift away. Peter would put it this way in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, that according to God's divine power, listen, He has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us to glory and virtue. If God's Word gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness, then when we study God's Word, it's going to be a great deterrent to us drifting away from God. We're told to be a people who study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that does not need to be ashamed, but rightly handling, correctly handling the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. And on and on and on the list goes. 2 Peter chapter 3. Remember at the very end of that, verses 17 and 18. Remember what Peter wrote there? Beware lest you also being led away with the error of wickedness. Now listen, you fall from your own steadfastness. But now here's the part that really exhorts. But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're told to grow in that. Well, folks, the only way I know really to grow in the knowledge of my Lord is through this book right here. This book that tells me about my Lord, the book that tells me about the life that He lived, the teachings that He left. That's the only way I can grow in it. Folks, we cannot be profited from the Scriptures. We cannot receive all things that pertain to life and godliness. We cannot stand approved before God. And we cannot grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ if we don't spend time in God's Word. Doesn't matter how tired we are. And you know what? I'm going to put it this way. Even if the last thing you do is you wake up in the morning and that Bible is laying there by your side in the bed because you went to sleep studying it. All right. All right. I'm going to tell you one thing, too. While there's all this great words of exhortation, remember these words, too. Isaiah 5 and verse 13. My people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Knowledge of what? God and His will for us. Hosea 4 and verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Number four, a good indicator, is when we find fault with everybody in the church, but none in ourselves. You know, constant criticism, constant fault finding, constant harping and carping and backbiting will ultimately lead us to apostasy. Romans chapter 1 and verse 30, Paul says that backbiting is one of the sins that the Gentile world was guilty of. I wonder why he would say something like that to the church of the Lord in Rome. Because he's trying to warn them about the things that could creep in to the church. When we are constantly fault-finding, nothing's ever right. Well, brother so-and-so did this, sister so-and-so did that. And every time you look, well, the church did this, or the church didn't do that. And if it's a constant, nonstop thing, we're going to find ourselves distancing ourselves from the very source of strength that God has given us. And that is the body of Christ, the church. Listen to 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 20. Paul there would write, "For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be," listen, "contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, self-ambitions, backbiting, and whisperings." I mean, words like contentions, self-ambition, in other words, put self first, and backbiting and whisperings and that murmuring that goes on. Folks, we can't be guilty of constantly finding fault with each other. What we need to be doing is trying to exhort, encourage, and say, "Let's do this, let's do that. I see what you're doing, you're trying your best, but let me help you do even better, and you help me do better." Galatians 5 and verse 15, Paul would speak of those who bite and devour one another as those who would eventually end up being consumed by one another. Folks, as members of the body of Christ, as brothers and sisters in Christ, let's be here to exhort one another. Let's encourage one another. Let's excite each other in the work that needs to go on. I mean, even right in within our own immediate family here at Highway 95. Encourage, not to mention brothers and sisters throughout the world. Let's encourage them as well. Folks, when we reach the point of constant fault finding, we're already on the way out the door and possibly never to return. It's that "everybody's wrong but me" attitude. Folks, neither the elders nor the preacher is at fault for every wrong thing in the church. Elders, preacher, it's not always the members of the church that is guilty of all the wrong that's happening, all the things that aren't being done. We are the body of Christ. Few people will exhibit all of the signs, all the indicators of falling away. And we're going to talk about some more this afternoon. But any of these indicators in our lives may well be signaling something to us. And that is the danger, the very real danger and potential for apostasy. May we honestly examine our own lives in light of these warnings and make the necessary corrections to our lives. If there's anyone here who's never put your Lord and Savior on in baptism, never become a Christian, yet you know what you need to do, we plead with you to make that decision before it is too late. Maybe it's the case that you're a child of God and you found that you have been slipping away and you need to come back to God. And once again, be reunited with the best fellowship in the entire world. And why I say it's the best fellowship in the entire world is because it is God-ordained fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. If there's anyone who needs to respond to the invitation, please, won't you do that as we stand and sing this song?